Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your ORG Ochoa. He is your 75, two-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer, the one, the only, Tony Casillas. TC, what up?
What up with you, man? I'm doing great. It's Tuesday. It's a great start of the week so far. Actually got a chance to play a little golf yesterday on Martin Luther King Day. So life is good.
So I want to say off the top, I told Tony before we started recording, my wife's out of town. The dog is pissed off. So this is a light and casual edition of the 750. He just barked. I don't know how powerful my microphone is. Bear is really upset. I tried to calm him down. It's really windy outside. So that's where he comes from. Tony, I did want to ask you before we started talking football and everything, I thought of this question. I asked some friends, what is something, because we're super deep into quarantine coming up on a year almost, something that was in no way a part of your life before quarantine that now you would consider a major part of your life. So I'll give you an example. I have a buddy, that I don't think had ever cooked a thing in his life. Fast food all the time, whatever, right. And started grilling early on in quarantine, bought a Traeger. I mean, like went completely all out. And now like he grills and smokes every day. So that's, I'm like, that's become a big part of his identity that had nothing to do with his life prior to quarantine. Like maybe you don't have something like that, but I was just curious if you did, as I will also be hopping on and off of mute because of the pup, but go ahead.
No, it's all good. We all had those distractions. It's life. He's basically the grill master, which is not a bad thing considering, you know, when you grill, doesn't mess the kitchen up. You don't have to clean up the mess. I get all that. Mine would probably be playing games like Gen. I never played Gen until the pandemic started. I always get my ass kicked by my wife. It's something that, you know, she takes pride in that. I would say something I probably didn't do as much, but I like to spend time doing it. And that's spending more time with my family.
Good.
Had my kids at home more often, which kind of sounds a little cliche-ish, but I don't think we don't spend as much time with our families much. But I'd say playing more games and just stuff that I never did before, took time to do. So I think that would be the top of my head. You mentioned meals. We do these, you order your meals and they deliver it home and it's got all the ingredients and everything,
right.
Which is Simply Fresh. And I've been doing a lot more of that. There's a lot of things. I mean,
yeah.
Not just one, there's things we don't do, and probably just more spending more time cooking and being more staying at home and doing that, which sure. I didn't do before.
So you said Gin, a game that I had never played prior to quarantine. My mom made us play this when we went over to their house, is Mexican Train. I don't know if it's called anything else anywhere else. Have you ever heard of this? It's a domino game.
No, I'm not familiar with that one.
It's pretty cool. It's a game I played a lot when I was in college and College Station. It's called 42. It's a really fun domino game.
Yeah.
This is called Mexican Train. It's a little bit different, but it's fun. I would imagine, I don't know, but it's probably great if you have like 8 to 10 people, but it's, you know, we made it work with 4. And so something, and I did want to give a shout out here, and this is a more of a recent development for me, is reading. I'm almost done with Shoe Dog, Phil Knight's memoir about his rise to fame in Nike. But Tony, we had a message. I got a message on Instagram from a loyal listener, said he loved the 750 and he wrote a book. And if you're watching, I'm showing this to Tony on our Zoom call. He wrote a book that's called The Iceman.
Love the name. Love the title.
James Massey. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. Mm-hmm. Remember a few weeks ago I said my goal was to read some more and specifically read fiction and, you know, not as many football books and stuff like that.
Right.
This is the plot on the back. In post-war Chicago, a humble ice delivery man discovers that his son was struck by an unremorseful drunk driver. Despite the challenges of a police cover-up and the celebrity status of the culprit, he refuses to be denied justice. The Iceman will stop at nothing, even if that means going toe-to-toe with the heavyweight champion of the world. So I'm excited to dig into this. Tony, I got you a copy as well, so I'll get that over to you.
That sounds like a great book, and I think that that's something I always wish I would have did more as far as reading. I think my whole deal is I start so many books and I get ADD and I get, you know, my mind starts, you know, wandering. And that's the hardest thing about reading. And reading, you just got to put yourself in the element. And,
right.
You know, I think, and also we read books, it's just kind of like mindless or suspenseful or something. You don't have to, you know, something that's, right. You know, it's like the reality TV, the book, all the programming watch. You just want to get away from our world we live in now, because sometimes it can be really toxic. So good for you, man. Well, Iceman. I love the name.
Yeah. So reading is something I'm spending a lot more time on, and I've obviously played a lot more golf. Tony's wearing a shirt that says "Make Par, Not War." So
I love this shirt.
That is the plan. So making pars, hopefully. I've dialed in the driver, but that's a conversation for a different day. So it's really helping me out, and I'm really excited about it.
Before we get started into some football, playoff football, because that's what we're talking about now, have you watched the Tiger documentary on HBO? Have you heard about it and read about it?
So
it's unbelievable.
Obviously, I've heard about it and read about it. And I got turned off at first when it first, because it was two parts that came out, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty compelling.
Right. I got turned off at first because there was a line of logic that it wasn't super accurate. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't give it a shot at first. I haven't watched it yet, but having seen the reviews from the second part, I do think I'm willing to watch it. So you would recommend it?
Yeah, and I know that Tiger, my son, and we both watched it, said that obviously he came out and said he was going to come out with a book now and kind of refute what the, you know, the truth and what's true and what's not true. But look, I mean, I think that it gets into more just, and I don't know what his relationship with his father was and the whole, you know, building this, you know, this crazy athlete and golfer, this, you know, the Messiah, if you will. But I think it's interesting. I think it's pretty compelling because it really is riveting when you look at his life. And I don't know, it doesn't change my thinking or my perspective of Tiger. I love Tiger. He's human. And I think that people understand that. And it's just something that's really intriguing. Yeah, I definitely recommend it.
Okay. Well, then
truth or not true.
I'm going to give it a watch. Yeah. It's not super high on my priority list just because, again, I mean, that factor.
But is that because you just don't want to fall into fall of grace and
no,
the way
not
they
at
portray
all.
Him? Or is it what? Yeah. Okay.
I'm just, I mean, I would like, I would love more than anything to see that story. Right. But, and Bear obviously agrees. I've got several Tiger books, but those are generally more about the rise.
Right.
I have no issue. You know, I'm not like, oh, I don't want my perception of Tiger compromised. That's not where I'm coming from. And I understand like Tiger's team saying, oh, it's not super accurate. You know, obviously they don't want to come out and be like, this is totally accurate. This is exactly how it happened. But, I'm hesitant to buy like whether that's exactly the way it all unfolded, but it's certainly worth watching. And I'm glad that that is now the general perception and perspective so that I can watch it and say, you know what, this was worth watching. So I'm going to watch it because TC recommended it. but so Tony, I tweeted a screenshot of an Instagram post on Monday. It was an Instagram post off of SportsCenter. And they shared a tweet. So lots of social media-ness going on here. It was a tweet from the NFL memes account, which obviously makes fun of different things, noting, thank you, Bear, appreciate it, that Tom Brady has been to now one NFC championship game since 1997. Tom Brady, who spent like a billion years with the New England Patriots and the AFC. Thank you again, Bear. Tom Brady, unfortunately, in that time frame since 1997, has been to the NFC championship game now with the, you know, birth the Buccaneers have more than the Dallas Cowboys. You liked this image. I thought it was funny, obviously. And Dak Prescott, I'm sure you saw, had a comment where he tagged Zeke and said, "Hold my crutches," seemingly saying, "Yeah, you know, I'm going to fix this, whatever." Do you think the Cowboys can fix this? Whatever, because now we have four teams left. The Buccaneers are one of them, obviously visiting the Green Bay Packers, the Bills and Chiefs on the other side. Are the Cowboys anywhere near any of these four teams? You know, like the Dak comment was fine. I'm not trying to make fun of it, but it was fine and fun and, you know, hopeful, whatever. But I mean, a year from now, is it really possible that we're talking about them being among these final four?
Well, let's start with the Buccaneers. Defensively, the Buccaneers really just stepped up. I mean, you look at how they played against, you know, a really prolific offense, a Hall of Fame quarterback and Drew Brees. I mean, they stepped up and made the plays. And then you look at the defense. I mean, they were number one against the run this year. So the Cowboys aren't close to them because of just the fact that they got a new defensive coordinator. So I'm going to give that's going to be a no on that team. And then you look at the Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And until Dak Prescott continues his rehab and gets back on the field, if you're doing it from a 1 to 10, the scale of 1 to 10 and 10 being the highest, the closest to it, I'll give him a 6 with that.
With the Bucks?
And then we look with the Bucks. Well, yeah. No, the Bucks will give him a 6. And then when I look at the Aaron Rodgers, I'll give him a 6 also. The other two AFC championship teams, Buffalo, I mean, they're another team that's playing really well. I mean, I think that the Cowboys can have a very good offense, but defensively, I think they're closer probably to Buffalo than they are to the other two teams, if that makes sense. Just because of the nature of those two quarterbacks with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, he seems ageless. I mean, just phenomenal what he's done. In Kansas City, look, they're just one concussion away. I mean, that was just an amazing game. It was an amazing call by Aaron Bieniemy or Andy Reid. Andy Reid probably had the final show, but that play that he made and dialed up and to go for it and throw a pass and when everything's on the line was remarkable. I think they're probably a 7 or 8. I would say a 5 or 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. There's just a couple of different the categories of being the, you know, closing in it's hard to measure because they haven't been consistent. Obviously last year and the year before were a little better. It's hard for me to imagine after this last year. And because of the injuries to Dak Prescott, the year before they were a lot closer than they were last year, obviously because of the injuries. But if that kind of qualifies my decision, I think it's kind of the one that for all four teams, I get an average of maybe a 5.5. That's how close the Cowboys are on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest.
I think that the 1 to 10 metric is a great way to kind of describe this. Bear, dude, it's cool, man. I know.
Hey, this is really testing your focus, man, as a broadcaster, because look, man, I mean, that's, you start hearing things, you're doing fine. I don't even hear the dog.
He's very upset. Again, it's really, really
go
windy.
Go feed him, throw him a biscuit.
So I like the 1 to 10 situation. I want to talk about the Andy Reid play call in a second, because I have something to say that I kind of don't totally believe in, but that we'll get there in a second. There's no way that Dak's going to be Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, so in that sense, a healthy Patrick Mahomes. So in that sense, it's kind of hard to compare anyone to KC. Josh Allen is right now dealing at an unbelievable level, and Buffalo's defense stepped up. And I mean, we'll see what Dan Quinn brings to the Cowboys, and not trying to poo-poo that right away, but I don't have faith right now that he can do what Leslie Frazier did in stopping Lamar Jackson. I mean, I don't have any faith in anybody doing that with the Cowboys from a defensive coordinator standpoint. The Packers are just an overall well-oiled machine. I think that that's the team they can maybe most become like. Just because the Packers have an elite offense, right? They have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, one of the best running backs, and obviously the best wide receiver in Devontae Adams. And so their success is built on piling up points offensively. But 2 years ago, after they fired Mike McCarthy, they finally decided to invest on the defensive side of the ball in Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. And so if the Cowboys invest similarly, like that's the team they can most become like, I think, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The Bucs are just kind of a unicorn, I think. I do believe, and I know some people will disagree with this, but right now, Patrick Mahomes is obviously better than Dak Prescott. Right now, Josh Allen's better than Dak Prescott. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is better than Dak Prescott. If in terms of who they are as quarterbacks in the year 2021, when Dak Prescott is healthy, I think he's better than Tom Brady. And that's not to say like career-wise, whatever, just who they are today, I think I would take Dak over Tom. But again, we're splitting hairs, whatever. I want to get – well, I don't know. Do you think that's the stupidest thing you've ever heard, first of all?
Well, when you look at the game against the Saints, I don't – when you put Dak in that element, it's hard to really compare because Tom Brady, he didn't make mistakes. He did put up really fascinating numbers, but he's able to – you know, the thing they're able to do is cap – cash in on the turnovers.
And that's the thing. Oh, yeah, if Dak had a defense.
That's huge.
Yeah, exactly. If Dak's defense was giving him short fields and everything over and over again, my point is I have just as much confidence in him being able to execute as I do Tom Brady right now.
And I understand that. You're not looking at the whole resume of what Tom Brady's done because it's not in comparison right now. But right now, when Dak is healthy, I guess I'm a little old school. I think I'd – now, if you know, I love Tom Brady. It's amazing what he's doing. But if you gave me a guy that's in his prime to compare to 43-year-old Tom Brady, I would probably have to go with Dak Prescott. But then part of me just it kind of his record and his resume overshadows what he's done.
Right.
But I would say that's a good argument. You take Dak Prescott. I mean, he's definitely younger, and he's got a little bit of upside because of his age and his potential future.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back." If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
So I want to make my Andy Reid point, but before I do, I'm curious because when you played, I feel like people didn't know as much about their approach to diet. I heard Troy Aikman on the Dan Patrick Show on Monday talking about how he wished he had approached, you know, his dietary regimen the way Tom Brady does. Obviously, actually, I think this was last week. I forget what show it was on, but he was on the Dan Patrick Show on Monday. And he talked about how when he was playing, maybe you were part of this at one point, he said that he had a routine, but like every Tuesday was like pizza day. And he said like every Wednesday was like Chinese food day, whatever. Mm-hmm. Certainly not the diet that Tom Brady has been on. Would you have approached your diet differently? It's a different position. I realize like your job was to stay bigger. But would you have done that differently? At least, do you think if more information had been known when you were playing?
I probably wouldn't have gone out as much. I think for me, I would go out during the week and I'd have at least once a week during the season and
right.
not get crazy. You know, my whole deal is I had to keep weight on and sustain that. And I wasn't, I was a big, strong guy, but I was pretty much undersized. So for me, I had an excuse for eating things. But now the diet's, it's totally different. I mean, you could eat the right foods, but when you have, you know, when you love sweets and someone puts a piece of cheesecake in front of you and you're trying to stay on a diet, you're like, okay, I'm going to have a piece of cheesecake. Now, Troy, to his point, Troy was always in great shape. I mean, he's a big dude, and you never would know that he was wasn't eating right. But I think that Tom Brady has taken it to a whole different level as far as nutrition. And I think he's really kind of a freakish dude that can continue to do what he does now, because I think a lot of that has to do with genes. I think really it's who you are and how you can sustain. And yeah, you can't just tear your body down. You can't eat a bunch of crap and food and everything. But I mean, it takes a lot of discipline, and to do what Tom Brady has done and comparing to some of these other guys that just eat well. I mean, I had guys that dieted and did everything the correct way and went to the gym, and they were the ones that were in their training room most of the time. So it's a good argument, but I think as you get older, yeah, in your 40s and now in your 50s, yeah, you really have to look back and say, you know, I had to take care of myself. But then you got to take care of yourself when you get extended, like when you get to 34 and then 40, right. Then you got to start really trying to start being cognizant of what you're doing to your body.
What's the most shocking thing you saw from a dietary standpoint? Like, and I mean like the opposite end of the spectrum, like somebody ate like 5 Whataburgers. Like what's the most like insane eating thing you saw during the NFL?
The offensive lineman, I think.
But like, put a number on it. Like, what did they eat? There? Like,
let me tell you a real something that happened when I could eat. When I was a senior in high school, this is a true story. I was in a track meet, state championship up in Oklahoma City. I lived in Tulsa, East Central High School, and we went to the state track meet. And I was a shot putter and discus thrower, and I actually did pretty good. I toot my horn, but I was runner up in state. But anyway. We stopped at the steakhouse called Cattle Rustlers. It's all you can eat. It's like, you know, it's a steakhouse, a version of you going as all you can eat Chinese places. You know, right. It's not
like
the best,
like a Golden Corral type thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of food, but the steaks are good. I had 10 little fillets, and I believe they were like 8 ounces. This is a true story.
God.
And this is eight steaks. 4-5 baked potatoes.
Holy
cow. Yeah. Salad. And, you know, these little loaves of bread that you get, the miniature loaves that are hot, you put butter on.
Yeah.
I must have had a dozen of those. It's a true story. So wow. I could eat. Now, when I got in the NFL, Troy, they used to come in on a Wednesday, Thursday. So Tom Thumb would carry the food, and they'd bring, like, you know, it was deli sandwiches and sure. and then E. Fratelli's would bring, or a Glorious Pizza or whatever it was. They'd bring pizza. But I'd see guys take 2 pizzas.
Like whole pizzas, whole pies.
Whole pizzas. Yeah. Wow. And I'm like, dude, you know, look, everyone else has got to eat. And I'm like, I'd look over there and Nate Newton would have 2 large pizzas. I'm like, dude, man, that's why you weigh 400 pounds.
Wow. That's, I don't know. 2 pizzas, like, I feel like I could.
Like 2 large pizzas. Like, we're talking about the, you know, these are like 18-inch, you know, the big pizzas.
Right.
You know, this big, you know, if you're watching this on YouTube, it's like twice the size of my head. Just like, you know, and then the nutrition week day was when, I think it was Smoothie King. They start bringing the smoothies. But it wasn't just one. Guys would have like 3 or 4 of them, you know, the 32-ounce Smoothie King.
Smoothie.
So.
That sounds.
But I mean, you're talking about offensive linemen,
right.
And defensive linemen compared to, you know, Troy. He's a quarterback. He's not He's 6'4". He's not going to be prone to being overweight. I mean, nothing against Troy, and not to knock on Tony Romo, but Troy didn't have Tony Romo body.
Sure. Yeah. Troy was, I've heard Rich Dalrymple
say
this.
But it didn't really bother Troy. It didn't really affect Tony. Tony was, right. You know, and maybe Tony Romo, when you look at him, maybe he would have been in the gym more. Maybe if he'd have worked out a little bit more and kind of had that Tom Brady regimen, maybe he wouldn't have been hurt as much. I don't know.
I once heard Rich Dalrymple say that Troy looked like somebody built a statue to the quarterback position and just kind of had that build, like the, you know,
Oh, he's just a big dude.
Right.
And so, yeah, but I know. And also, and we'll move on. And the greatest story about this is that on the road trips, the rookies, we made the rookies stop at the Coppell Deli. I don't know if you ever heard of this place, but you have to Google it. So what they would do is that they had this sandwich called the Stubbs Special. And Daniel Stubbs used to play for the Miami Hurricane. And when Jimmy was there while he was coaching, they created the sandwich whenever Daniel came to the Cowboys. So what it was, RJ, I'm not fabricating this. I'm not exaggerating. It was five pieces of sausage, scrambled eggs, bacon, and between two Texas toast. You know, the big square one, Texas toast. So it was basically a heart attack in between two pieces of toast. And they would stop and they would get us we'd make our rookies stop again. And they bring them and give them to us for the road trips when we got on the plane. That and the burgers. They used to have the Nate's Burgers. And if you ever get back, the Coppell Deli, so I'll take you over there. It's about an 8-inch burger. And if you guys are watching this, it's probably, 8 inches. Had three, I think it was a triple, or double. Bacon, five pieces of cheese, in a greasy, greasy version of it. Tremendous. And the tater tots, big old bag full of them. But yeah, that kind of puts in perspective what you used to do.
But you had
an excuse back then, you had you got paid for being eating bad and keeping you sustaining your weight.
Sure. Of all the things you described, I think
sounds pretty good, huh?
Well, the least impossible. Like if I had to pull off one of these, the least impossible, I think I could. Like if I didn't eat for the whole day, I think I could eat two pizzas. Like that seems the easiest of all of them. Maybe the smoothies. Actually, the smoothies is probably the easiest, but that doesn't really count. Man alive. Goodness gracious. Well, shout out to your high school track days, because that sounds pretty effective.
I can't eat like it, but I have my version of 300 man in me sometimes, and so it can come out.
Right on. Okay.
I like that.
The last thing I'm gonna say today. And I don't totally, I'm sort of workshopping this idea as I say it. The whole world went crazy. Tony Romo himself, you mentioned Romo, on Andy Reid's 4th and inches call, right?
Jim, look at that call, Jim.
It was amazing. And I catch a lot of heat for this. I don't think that Tony is the best color commentator in the game. I actually think that Chris Collinsworth's better. And I think in a lot of ways, Troy is better. But I do believe that moment, that 4th and inches, nobody can do that except for Romo. His wheelhouse is very special. And so obviously it was awesome, but that's a different conversation. But so everybody lost their mind, right? How can Andy Reid throw it out of the gun on 4th and inches, whatever? It is a crazy call. And I'm not saying that Mike McCarthy is Andy Reid. That's not my point. But we've seen a level of aggression from Mike McCarthy, right? And sometimes it's misplaced, right? Like the fake punt on Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. whatever. But my point is, like, he's got that I don't say element, but he's driven around that neighborhood. You know what I mean? He's driven around at Christmas time and looked at the lights. And so I think that should be said. Like, my point is, Andy Reid's not the only aggressive head coach or play caller in the NFL. He's obviously the best. And again, there's a large gap between him and Mike McCarthy, but that is something that people have criticized Mike McCarthy for. And I think, like, that's, I don't want to say it's a sign of optimism, but I think that Mike McCarthy is maybe closer to that than people think, is maybe the best way to say it.
Well, I think that you have to, at that point, you got to have confidence in the call. You got to have confidence in the quarterback and whoever it is, your backup or, Patrick Mahomes. Still, that's a low percentage play considering the circumstances. And maybe it the perspective is it is, but and when you've done it so many times, it may not be. But I think that's part of the coaching that separates really tremendous coaches from average coaches, because they're willing to really put the ball in the player's hand. Like, okay, I believe in you, go make the play. And then once you make it and you create that, it's just all about execution. And I think people have a lot of respect for that, because the next time they play him, they're thinking, okay, well, we've seen this happen before. you know, what are we going to, I think that that's one thing that coaches do. They compartmentalize a lot of different things. They keep that in their archives, and then you watch someone's film and circumstances, you know, and whenever that comes again, and then you may not make that call. But I think just the confidence of Andy Reid, because look at him on the sideline. Does he look like this really gunslinging type of play caller? I mean, whoever it is. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, look at him. You're like, he looks really – he'd be really conservative. And yet some of the plays that he comes up with and this offense that he's created, there's not any other teams that can emulate that.
Right.
Because they are so crazily – if that's even a word – talented and explosive.
Right. I agreed. Andy Reid is so special. And again, not that Mike McCarthy is Andy Reid, but I'm just saying, give Mike some time, give him Dak Prescott. And
I think, yeah.
I mean, to the point, I mean, we saw Mike McCarthy's offense, call it Kellen Moore if you want, be still a bit of a gambler, even with Andy Dalton. Remember in the final game of the season when they let Andy, you know, zone read that bad boy, you know, on a critical fourth down. And so that's all I'm saying, like that, you know, Mike McCarthy's not as far away.
But it's kind of a catch 22 though, RJ. You know this. If it had not worked, then people are like, why in hell did you call that?
Sure.
Okay. It's like Patrick Mahomes. Why are you running an option?
Right.
People are like, if they would have lost the game, everybody would have been pissed off at Andy Reid because
why are you running this guy who's got a hurt ankle? Yeah, totally.
Right. So, you know, that's just the way it works. If it works, you're the greatest coach in the world. If it doesn't.
My final thing, because I agree with you. My final thing before we get out of here, I'm surprised nobody connected these dots. I know it was only the division around, but the Patrick Mahomes, Chad Henne thing felt a lot, and I'm sure you would agree, like Bernie Kosar coming in for Troy in the 93 title game, the, you know, we will win this game, 3-inch bold head. Like, it was kind of the exact same thing. Like, the star quarterback going down, defending Super Bowl champion quarterback going down, defending Super Bowl MVP, and the wily veteran coming in, you know, and incidentally, it was Bernie Kosar of all people, and the Patrick Mahomes thing happened against the Browns, but that was kind of cool. I mean, I just hadn't thought about that in a while.
Well, it was a tremendous game, and I think that you defensively, Kansas City finally came through at the very end. And there's so many crazy calls in that. And ultimately, I think defensively, and it's going to happen. I mean, you have to – that's why you pay a backup quarterback. And, you know, Chad Henne, I forgot he was even in the league. I honestly thought he's had some experience. But, yeah, that's those things happen. And hopefully you can have a strength category that kind of, you know, can carry you. And look what Kansas City defensively, they couldn't stop the Browns all game long. And then the last fourth quarter, they came up with some major stops. And that huge play, man, was just amazing. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. Andy Reid, greatest of all time, brother.
I've heard Troy say this before, but in the Monday appearance I referenced on the Dan Patrick Show, he talked about that 93 title game. He has said this before again, that he doesn't remember it. But I'm curious if you can recall this, Tony, since you were there. Bernie Kosar threw 9 passes. How many did he complete?
I think he was five of 9.
Look at that. He completed 5 passes. Okay.
Wow. That was a hell of a guess. I figure if I go like 50-45%, I'd have a pretty good chance of guessing. I know it was efficient enough. All I know.
He threw 1 touchdown in the game, and I'll give you a clue. It was a 42-yard touchdown. He had 83 passing yards, and 42 came on this touchdown play. Who caught it?
Was it Jay Novacek?
It was not Jay Novacek.
All right, so it was either Kmart, Kevin Williams?
It was not.
All right, so Michael Irvin?
Wrong.
Alvin Harper.
That's right, dude. Alvin Harper made a living out of big-time touchdowns in NFC title games. You should know that. Come on. 42-yard touchdown from Alvin Harper.
That's a long time, man. That's like Troy. I don't think I remember that game.
Bernie, again, some of this is muddied, but his official stats did not have the rushing prowess that Chad Henne did. 2 rushing attempts for -3 rushing yards in the game.
Now, I believe that. Bernie could not run. All I know is he was a Catholic. I remember St. Christopher, and I remember his sidearm motion with the quarterback. But yeah, he was good for Bernie. He was at the right place at the right time. Got a Super Bowl ring, and the rest is history.
That's right. Well, this was fun. Sorry, everybody, about Bear. He finally calmed
down. I didn't
down.
Even hear it. What? Who's Bear? I didn't hear any.
That's true. He did chill out finally, thankfully. Tony, but right, last thing. Who's going to the Super Bowl? You got Bucks, Packers, and let's. I think we both agree if Patrick Mahomes doesn't play, obviously the Bills are winning. But let's assume Patrick plays. Hard to say 100% health, so qualify that how you want. But who's going to the Super Bowl in the NFC, the AFC?
You know what? I'm going with both visiting teams. I'm going with the Buccaneers and the Bills.
Okay, I'm going Packers Bills. So we're a little bit copacetic there.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just more. I mean, Tom Brady, wouldn't it just be a fascinating story if he goes with this back to Super Bowl? I'd like to see the Packers win because I love all four of these teams. So I got to go with one underdog, and I think obviously the Buccaneers they're going to be an underdog, not by much, but I think it's going to be a tremendous game.
I do think it would be cool if the Bills, you know, like the first year that Tom Brady leads the AFC East, they finally break through, have their success, only to see Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Like, that would be kind of funny. So, you know, we'll see if that
happens. You know, the question is the concussion protocol. When are they going to make the decision if he clears it? I mean, that's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting to see what the line is. I mean, it's going to seesaw.
Right.
If Pat Mahomes is not available, obviously the Bills are my favorite, but it should be a tremendous game.
Sounds good. Well,
they said that about Nick Foles.
That's true. We'll be back here next Tuesday to talk about it. Everybody have a great week. This was the 750.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.